Well, it's good to be here. It's good to be home. I appreciate Michael filling in last week. I know he does a great job when he preaches, and it's good to be home. It's good to just be welcome back. This is home, and we know that, so thank you. We're going to continue our sermon series today on hope. And if you remember the Peanuts cartoons, y'all remember those, right? We watch them during the holidays, and they're a great form of entertainment. But in one of the cartoons, Linus and Lucy are sitting there watching TV. And Lucy says to Linus, "Go get me a glass of water." And Linus says, "Why would I do anything for you? You don't do anything for me." Lucy says, "On your 75th birthday, I will bake you a cake." So Linus gets up and he drags his blanket into the kitchen and he says, "Life is so much more pleasant when you have something to look forward to." Hope comes easy for Linus. But hope doesn't always come easy for all of us all the time, does it? Sometimes it's a struggle. Today we're going to conclude our summer series on hope, but it by no means means that our hope will end, because our hope goes on. You know, hope provides so many benefits for us. It can cause us to soar to great heights when things happen in life. Hope can also sustain us when we go through difficult times. Hope in what we believe, that provides us a foundation that will stand when storms hit us in life. The fourth chapter of Ephesians talks about unity and maturity in the church, and unity and maturity in the body of Christ. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, "Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness in Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is, Christ." Now, when you read this section of Ephesians 4, you don't see the word hope there, but hope has to be implied by the fact that we have to place hope in what we believe, or we'll have no foundation to build our lives upon. Is a foundation important? Have you ever built a house without a good foundation? You wouldn't want to do that, right? Because the rest of the house depends on that. Our hope in what we believe gives us a foundation. And the goal for the Christian is to mature in Christ. The hope in what we believe gives us a foundation for when the storms of life hit our faith. Have you ever had a storm hit your faith? We have storms hit our faith all the time. We have illness that occurs to us, or illness with a loved one. Maybe it's a storm of deception or a storm of disbelief. Maybe someone's been disloyal to us. Betrayal. Storms hit us all the time. And these things cause us to not grow in Christ when we don't look at Him the way Christ wants us to. You know, Paul speaks of infants, and some translations say children. But if you look at the Greek word there, it's not talking about young people. It's talking about a person who is unthinking, or a person who's impulsive, a person who lacks the judgment to make good decisions. You know, we study the Bible with the goal of growing, don't we? We study the Bible with the goal of becoming more stable in our faith, so that we're not tossed back and forth by everything that's thrown at us. You know, there are those in the church at Ephesus who were trying to dissuade people from trusting what Paul was teaching. But the hope we have in what we believe provides us with a stable foundation that helps us withstand those storms. But what happens when we don't have that foundation? Well, verse 14 talks about people who are tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, human cunning, and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. When we're not sure of what we believe, then we have no stability. So when the next belief comes along or the next fad comes along, we get caught up in it. Do you guys remember the fidget spinner? How many people in here had a fidget spinner? Oh, there's more than that. Some of you don't want to admit you had a fidget spinner. I had a fidget spinner. Everybody had a fidget spinner. You weren't cool if you didn't have a fidget spinner 3 or 4 years ago, right? And they were a big deal. And you could buy them for $5 or $500. Some of them had very special metal and weighted appropriately and calibrated appropriately and perfectly. And everybody had these things. Where are all the fidget spinners today? I tried to find one to bring as an illustration. I couldn't even find one. Kim Trader has one. Let's give her a round of applause. There we go. Thank you. But that happens with stuff, right? A latest fad or trend comes in and everybody gets on board. I remember there's a time when you couldn't go to Fruit Pharmacy and buy a fidget spinner because they were sold out. I bet there's plenty over there right now. That can happen with our faith and our hope when it's not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that's a scary thing. He talks about being tossed around back and forth. A ship without an anchor, what's going to happen to it when it gets caught up in the waves? It's going to be battered around until it eventually ends up on the rocks, destroyed, because it's not grounded and rooted in anything. A person without the anchor of hope, without the anchor of faith, when life's storms come at us, if we're not grounded with our foundation in Jesus, then we're going to end up on those rocks as well. We can get pulled in, Paul says, by human cunning. What's that mean? Well, I'm told that the word here is the Greek word for cube, which literally speaks of dice throwing. So a clever person could hold two sets of dice, and he could decide which set he used, and the dice could be loaded so that people would be deceived and tricked out of their money. That is what the original readers would have understood here when he used the word cunning. We can be fooled into making God's kingdom our kingdom if we allow ourselves to be tricked by cunning people. You call that getting played, right? Craftiness. Anybody ever been the victim of craftiness? Yeah. Craftiness is you'll do anything and everything to get an unfair advantage. And here it would have talked about the changing of a product, adding, in other words, adding water to gasoline to make it stretch further, right? We've heard of companies doing that. During this time, it would have been perfume or medicine. The people would add water to it or dilute it so that they could sell more product, but the people weren't actually getting what they're paying for. He talks about this, craftiness. Deceitful schemes, that's methods, strategies. The people come in and try to get you to buy into what they're teaching and what they're trying to lead you to. And they'll do anything and use everything at their disposal to lead you in the direction they want you to go. But when we have hope in our beliefs, we won't be taken down the path that we shouldn't go. Hope gives us a foundation. But hope doesn't just give us a foundation so that we have a sturdy foundation. It gives us a foundation to do things. And one of the things, it gives us a foundation to properly speak the truth. Ephesians 4:15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. I want to focus here for a moment on the first part of verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. That's a mark of maturity when we can do that. It's a mark of maturity in our hope and that we believe what we believe. We have to have that foundation to be able to do this. When we're faced with people who want to cause strife, when we're faced with people who want to teach things that aren't true or disrupt our unity, we have to take action, but we don't fight fire with fire. The Christian has never been called to fight fire with fire. Amen? The Christian hasn't been called to be offensive just because you're right. You know what the Christian's been called to do? Speak the truth in love. Amen? If we have hope in what we believe, and we're not going to be tempted to take out vengeance on our own because we realize our God will do what needs to be done. Ephesians 6:14 tells us, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Christians are encouraged to stand on the truth, right? But where this gets tricky and where we get in trouble sometimes is we got to remember whose truth it is that we stand on. Amen? You know, it's not my truth. It's not Brian's truth. It's not Gary's truth. It's not the truth of necessarily the way we were raised or the way it's always been done or tradition. But But it's God's truth. We're called to stand on the truth of God. Speaking the truth in love is a means of promoting growth in the church and growth in our individual lives as well. But it's not always an easy thing to do, is it? Is speaking the truth in love always easy? No, you see, we're tempted to go in two very different directions many times. Some people focus on the truth and leave the love out of it. And we see example after example of that in the Bible with people, a group of people called what? Pharisees, exactly. I was going to say what it started with, but I almost said F. That would have been embarrassing. The Pharisees, PH. But they loved telling people they were wrong. They were factually correct, and they were going to jam it down your throat and catch you up in something. They loved being right and telling others how they were failing. But they did it with the wrong motivation. Do we see modern-day Pharisees? Have we been modern-day Pharisees? It happens. It's a temptation. It's a temptation that we believe we are so right and someone else is so wrong. And many times we're motivated to speak the truth, but maybe not in love. That's why we're encouraged and warned when it comes time to help a brother or sister who's struggling. Galatians 6:1 tells us, brothers and sisters, if someone's caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may be tempted. One of the temptations is to come off high and mighty when we believe we're right. But the other extreme we face is not speaking the truth because we're afraid that it's going to be hurtful, or we're leaving out the love part. And we think, well, this is going to be not be received well, so I just won't speak it. When it comes to speaking the truth in love, it's not truth or love, is it? But it's truth in love. And when it's done with the proper motivation, God will open doors we never thought existed. Do we believe that? You know, when we have hope in what we believe, it's a hope that stands. And when we speak the truth in love, we do so because we recognize it's not about me. It's not necessarily about the things I'm saying. It's about what God has already said. And God is greater and stronger than any situation we face. We have the confidence in what we believe to know that sharing the truth in love can change a situation. It can change somebody's life. Our hope stands because it gives us a foundation to properly speak God's truth. And our hope stands because it gives us a foundation on which to grow. Again, Ephesians 4:15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head. That is Christ. We're to grow up in every way into Christ, being more like Him. That's the ultimate goal for us as Christians, right? To be more like Jesus. Don't you want to be more like Jesus? That's our goal. That's the ultimate goal for all of us. But if we don't know what we believe, then when we face a storm of doubt, we're going to get blown away. Have you ever been in the ocean and a wave gets a hold of you? And you have no choice but to go where it takes you. Has anybody ever been in a situation like that? Maybe you get out too far. This doesn't happen when mom goes with us, because she stands at the edge of the surf and goes like this and says, get back in, right? But when she's not there, it happens sometimes. And you get out there and everything's going along great, and all of a sudden you're knocked off your feet and you get out there and you think, oh, I can't touch anymore. That's dangerous, right? Why did mom warn us? Because she wanted to keep us safe. It's dangerous if you get out too far, because you may not get back. It's the same way in our spiritual life, church. When we allow ourselves to be tossed around and we allow Satan's darts to land in us and we follow what he leads us to, we end up in a situation where maybe we can't touch anyone because we're getting tossed around. Church, we want to be rooted and grounded in Jesus, who's the head of all things. And where He moves, we move. And what He says, we do. And where He calls us, we go. That's the goal. The hope in what we believe gives us the foundation to stand in those storms. And as we grow, there'll still be storms. and the storms may even be more dangerous and stronger than they were before. But so is our faith when we're following God. Danny read for us Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. You know, we were down at the beach over the last couple weeks. And I watched a lot of people build a lot of sandcastles. And some of the sandcastles were very elaborate. And this one guy even had like a paintbrush and was brushing the sand to put the proper finish on it. And this thing was immaculate. I watched Tierra and Abby and Austin, his friend Alex, build a sandcastle really close to the water. And as the water got closer, they started to build a wall of sand up to protect it. But guess what? They were fighting a losing battle. But you see people build all these elaborate sandcastles and all these sculptures, and it doesn't matter how much time it took, doesn't matter where on the beach they did it, even if it cost them a lot of money, what always happens the next day? It's gone. Gone. Just as though it never existed. We would say a person would have to be crazy to put their hope in a sandcastle, right? Would you agree with me? Because we know the very next day, it will be completely gone. Let's make it a little more personal for us. All the things we have in this life, they're temporary, aren't they? You know, my house might have a great foundation, and I pray that it does. But guess what? One day it's going to be gone. My car might do a good job getting me where I need to go today, but one day it's going to be gone. One day the bank account's going to be a zero. One day the job's going to be gone. Even people that we put our hope in pass away. But you know what always exists? The love your Father has for you. The sacrifice your Savior made for you. That is always there. And it's certainly worthy of our hope and our faith. So the question, what is your hope based upon today? What are you building your life upon? This world tempts us so many ways, and even those of us who are believers, we get distracted at times, and the world tells us, build your hope on your retirement account, or build your hope on your house or your assets, or build your hope on this or that or these people. Are you ready to place your hope in Jesus? You know, we've talked about hope all summer. And just to summarize, we started talking about the fact that our hope is constantly under attack. Satan is always trying to get us to give up on our hope. You know, Satan can't take our hope from us, but he can lead us to a point if we give in to where we give up our hope. And that's his goal, because a hopeless person is an easy target for him. But our hope's constantly under attack. But no matter what happens, God will sustain us. And we know his promises are good. We next talked about hoping against hope, and we talked about Abraham. He hoped that God would fulfill his promise to multiply his descendants, to make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. But this took time, and it took patience. And it was 25 years before God ever started fulfilling this promise in Abraham's eyes, and 85 years until the first grandchildren. But we learned God is a God who makes something from nothing. He is a God who does the impossible. And he is a God who fulfilled his promise to Abraham. He's promised us as Christians eternal life. And he is a God who will fulfill his promises to us. And then we talked about whether or not we'll believe the hope that we have. Will we have faith that God is who he says he is? And we talked about Hebrews 11, commonly referred to as the Hall of Faith. And it talks about the saints of old and the way they pleased God. You know, they didn't please God because they were perfect. They didn't please God because they had it all figured out. In fact, they had a lot of problems, didn't they? But they pleased God, we're told, because they were faithful. There are times in this life when having faith in God doesn't make sense. There are times in this life where it's not logical to believe the things God says. Do it anyway. God's ways are not our ways. I'm thankful for that. Amen. God made everything we know from things that were not visible. I love that verse. He spoke it all into existence. He is a God worthy of our hope and our faith. And our hope is a hope that will stand even when we have difficult storms in life. Our hope gives us a foundation to properly speak the truth, and a foundation to grow into the people Christ wants us to be. Where is your hope this morning? Is your hope in word only? Or do you have a hope that will lead you to be obedient to God? Are you a Christian? You know, God's word tells us we get to heaven through Jesus. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to save you for all of eternity. Don't lose that. That's a big deal. God, who created everything, sent His Son to die on the cross to save you. That's love, church. He wants you to come to Him through baptism. He wants you to come in contact with His blood, the blood that will cleanse you from your sins, and the blood that will wash you white as snow, where you receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. He wants to be your advocate before the Father. You know, when we're Christians, we can live with the hope of eternal life. You look around this world and things happen and situations occur and there's reason for everything but hope. But when you're a Christian, all that stuff, it puts you into perspective because you have a home in heaven forever. We can live with that hope. Live with the hope that God is who He says He is and that He's done everything necessary to save you. Have you accepted that gift today? If not, we want to give you this opportunity this morning to do that. If you have accepted the gift, but you've lost your way or you want the prayers of the church, that's what we're here for. We're not here just to get together and sing songs and go to lunch. We're here to help each other get through life. Amen? If you need us this morning, we're here. We need each other. Be in prayer that we all will stand on the hope that we have through our Lord and Savior. If you have a need, come now as we stand and sing.